I just wanted to read a scripture that I like. It's called 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's 1 Corinthians 2:9. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with codependency and love and relationship addiction. My name is Candace. When I was young, my father was in the Air Force and my mother a hairdresser. My dad was away on active duty serving our country. He was often gone for long periods of time. We moved to a military base in Mississippi, and most of the time it was just my mother, my sisters, and I at home. From what I remember, my childhood was happy, but my father would come home on leave. But when my father would come home on leave, he was a stranger to me. It would take a lot of effort on his part for me to come around and give him some attention. I remember being accident prone as a child, so there were several doctor's visits. I liked getting the attention from male figure. So when my dad finally resigned from the Air Force, the four of us moved to a small apartment in New Hampshire where my grandparents lived. I loved my older sister, but when we were younger, we would fight a lot. She would often call me names and tell me I was fat and ugly. I would run to my mother with my hurt feelings, and she would tell me to just ignore her. I understood this to mean you should ignore your feelings. And that's what I began to do. I learned from an early age to push my feelings aside and hide my anger. I was already a people pleaser, trying to get love and attention from my parents by being the good, obedient child. This is when I met my best friend who introduced me to the church. I followed her to youth group and choir, and we went to summer church camp together. I sang about God and learned about Jesus. I was so grateful to be where I was accepted and loved. Things were going well. I was also in Girl Scouts, selling cookies and going camping, and making friends with my new neighbors. My older sister and I still fought, but I had my own friends now. When I was 15, my dad picked us up from school. He told us on our way home that he and my mother were going to get a divorce. I was in shock, but I kept my head high. This is normal, I told myself. Everyone gets a divorce. I hid my feelings from my dad, and then when I saw my mother crying, I hid them from her as well. I was confused and angry, but no one knew because I never told anyone. Expressing my feelings seemed to show weakness, so I kept them hidden. I never saw or heard my parents fight or argue, so I guess I was confused by their separation. My older sister and I were the only ones that ever fought in the house. My parents' divorce brought more life changes. My sisters and I moved with my mother to a new town where I changed schools again and started over with a new group of friends. I was 16 at the time, and all the pain I was holding inside seemed to be a magnet that drew me close to others who were also in pain. My new friends and I would get beer and cigarettes and party every weekend. Our similar struggles bonded us together. And I had sex for the first time with a boy I knew I wasn't in love with, and as a result, I became pregnant at age 17. Because I lacked a close relationship with God, I chose to have an abortion. I believed the lies that I wasn't hurting anyone and that it was just a procedure and I would be fine after. But of course, that was not true. There was a lot of pain and isolation and guilt and shame attached to this procedure. So in order to cope with this new pain and hurt, I hid it and buried it. Ironically, I acted out sexually for the next 2 decades, not really understanding why. This led to more dysfunction and poor decisions, which led to more abortions I experienced. I was in search of something, but I didn't know what it was. All I knew was that I had an empty space in my heart and I wanted it to be filled. Isaiah 1:18, the Lord says, no matter how deep the stains of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. When I graduated high school, my father sent me a one-way ticket to Las Vegas. That's where he had moved a few years before. I looked forward to having a relationship with him and was excited about the future. Moving to Las Vegas didn't heal the insecurities of my past. However, I did find temporary relief from my childhood pain of separation, loneliness, and rejection. Although I was away from where my past was, I still had baggage I carried across the country. I continued on my path of destruction. Because of my unhealthy choices of sin in my life, I was 19 years old when I got pregnant again. This time, I made the decision to raise the baby all by myself. I was still broken, and by the time my daughter was born, I was looking for someone to be her father. It was hard being a single mother, doing it all on my own. 3.5 years later, I met the man she still calls her dad. We lived together and planned to raise our little girl in our home. Finally, I had real hope for a future. While I worked at a casino, he stayed home with our daughter most of the time. He was a drummer in a local band, and I made it my responsibility to make sure everyone was happy in our home. And we got along pretty well for a while. We lived in a rock and roll atmosphere, and when I would come home from work, he'd be partying and I'd get upset. I felt more like his mother than his partner. We began fighting a lot, and soon one of my ways of coping overcame me. I had wandering eyes for another man, and I cheated on my daughter's father with his best friend. I had a chance at a better life, a chance to have a whole family, and once again I gave in to temptation and allowed my struggles and sinful habits to take over. In an attempt to avoid consequences, I ran away, this time from one relationship to another. I moved out, took my daughter with me, and we started over. My next boyfriend, who was also a musician, was living with his girlfriend when we met, and his unavailability didn't stop me from trying to make him my own. I knew he was unhappy in his relationship because he told me. So my goal was to be his. I idolized him, and in my eyes, he could do no wrong. Eventually, he left his other relationship, and we were finally together. We moved to Portland looking to start over. My boyfriend was the center of my universe. I did everything, anything and everything that I thought would make him happy, including giving him all my attention and worry. It seemed like things were going well for a while, but his addiction would always creep in and separate us. He wasn't going to change for me, but I pressed on and continued trying to make him into what I wanted him to be. I was falling apart at the seams. I lost my identity in him. My life revolved around how he was doing. If he was happy, I was happy. If he was upset or hurting, I did whatever I could to help fix him. After all, that was my role, a manager or a fixer of people. We would fight about his drugs. I wanted him to stop, but he was too entangled in his addiction. I was so deep in my codependency and denial that I decided that if I was going to be with this man, we at least needed to be married. So I, being in my sick mind, finally put my foot down and he did propose. But he changed his mind the same year. I was crushed, devastated, and overwhelmed with the failure and pain of his rejection. Everything I worked so hard to achieve in my relationship had fallen to the ground in one blow. Jeremiah 16:19 says, "Do people make their own gods? Yes, but we are not gods, but they are not gods. Therefore, I will teach them. This time, I will teach them my power and might. Then they will know that my name is Lord." We split up, and thankfully, my job had an opening in California, and I took it. My daughter graduated high school, and we packed everything up and moved again, thinking that in a new home, we'd find new hope. I believed I could forget my past and move on. I really wanted to let go and start fresh. I realize now that all of my obsessions and codependency took my focus away from one of the greatest gifts God has ever given me, my daughter. She was there through it all, and I took her for granted and overlooked a lot of her needs. Thankfully, that was my biggest regret. I lost a lot of time with her, and I'm trying to make up for it now. Thankfully, we are close. After moving to California, I continued my pattern of using physical gratification as a means of forgetting my pain and releasing stress with yet another unavailable man. I knew it could never work out, but I still had this false hope. He lived in another state away and would come see me every week. My secret life continued, but soon his wife discovered our affair. We broke off the relationship and I went to get help from a counselor. I was desperate. I needed help. I was unhappy with myself and my choices and insecure about my future. I was facing a life of solitude, isolation, a secret past, and a double life that I couldn't share with anyone. My Christian counselor suggested that I end my affairs with these men. He reminded me that it was no good for me or for them to have these superficial relationships. We worked on my codependency and boundary issues. He suggested I could start going to church and maybe I could meet a nice Christian man there. I attended church every Sunday evening after work. I mostly enjoyed the music and the message was good, but one night I was changed. At the end of the service, my pastor asked that those who wanted to receive Christ into their hearts repeat after him. I had already received Jesus in my heart when I was a child, but I was a sinner, and I needed a Savior. I never thought about it like that. So I repeated the words as I always did, but this time I was changed. Something inside me clicked. We sang a song of praise, and the messages were becoming clearer and making more sense. Right then, I recommitted my life to my Savior. This time, I was connected to the Father and Jesus. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. I headed as fast as I could to serve the Lord. I signed up for mission trips, Bible studies, you name it. I wanted to learn as much as I could about Jesus. I started reading the Bible, enjoying service, and making friends with other Christians. The Lord works in wonderful ways. At this same time, my daughter accepted Jesus into her life as well. My life was really changing this time. My work offered me a transfer back to Portland, and I took the opportunity. I didn't know why God was moving me again, but I trusted in him and moved everything back to Portland. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord, "plans for your success, not failure, plans to give you hope and a future." I struggled for a while, having to start all over with friends and church. Once again, I fell back into my old ways, and I began having uncommitted relationships again. I knew it was wrong, and I was becoming more and more convicted and had to stop. I felt lost with my struggles. I had gone to many counselors and never received the words or therapy that could help me have real change in my life. Then I remember going to church and meeting a young girl there in her 20s. She confided in me about how she didn't want to take the cup and bread because of her unhealthy relationship she was in. I didn't know what to say to her or how to give her any hope about her circumstances. I was unsure of how to overcome my own fleshly desires. How was I going to give any advice away to anyone about that? I knew I needed to find the answer. Seeing that girl was like looking into a mirror of my past. If only I could unlock the door that led to healthy living, I could share it with someone who needs it. I heard about Celebrate Recovery. They had groups there for women like me who struggle with love and relationship addiction and codependency. I had to give it a chance, and I finally paid a visit for the first time here at Rolling Hills Church. That's where I met my good friends that I'm grateful to have. I was desperate for help with my past pains and habits. I wanted to live a healthy, godly life and be the true Christ follower God wanted me to be. I felt so welcome and excited to be on my way to healing. I joined the small groups, and slowly, after coming to meetings a few times, I met and connected with some women. I was so grateful to know other ladies who had the same struggles I had been dealing with. I finally joined a step study, and although it was hard at times, I found healing and tools to use for my continued recovery, such as step 5, confessing my sin to God and someone I trust. When we do this, we shed light on the darkness and healing can happen. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed." This is so important for me because I was so used to living a double life and hiding my actions and feelings. It forced me to be transparent and truthful about who I am and what I'm doing. Through my recovery, I discovered I needed the support of women who love me like Jesus. They accept me and yet make me accountable to God and myself. It's been hard at times working through the pain and poor decisions and habits of my past, and yet they still love me. Last year, I felt Jesus tugging on my heart to give him everything. I still hung on to the hope of a relationship that would come to be, but never has. I held on to this tiny glimpse of light that there might be something good from it. But in every experience I was receiving from it, I ended up sad and alone and frustrated. So finally, I gave my will over to God for this relationship to end and have faith that he is enough for me, period. And it has given me peace now. In his arms, I can relax and know he has everything in his perfect order. I don't have to be afraid of the future or be ashamed of my past. I can have faith that God is working in me to completion what he has started. Celebrate Recovery has been a place for me to come and get relief from the pain of my addictions and learn to cope in healthy ways. I now serve as a CR 101 group leader and help in the kitchen after small group. It's been a great experience to help to watch women find healing and grow. It gives me continued hope for recovery. For the newcomer, I suggest you keep coming and give CR a chance to change your life. We were all new at one time and feeling a little like an outsider. But if you continue to come and share and do service, you will make friends that will last a lifetime and grow closer to God. I'm learning how to have healthy relationships with both men and women and boundaries with loved ones. I'm also learning to give up control and let God have my pain. Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." God has given me mercy and grace for my past choices and mistakes. 2 years ago, I had the opportunity and blessing to join a Bible study for women who have suffered the hurts and buried pain of abortion. It was amazing for me to see how God draws us even closer to him every day in different ways. I was able to release my anger that I never expressed and also forgive those who hurt me along the way, including myself. I'm now free from the slavery of my past, and I don't need to run away any longer. Thank you for letting me share.